Dr. Joanne Yu chooses each word carefully, almost painfully. She's the international president of the Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. In the 3 years since she first took office, she's been on the ground to see the Ebola epidemic in West Africa, the Syrian refugee crisis in Europe, and the bombings of MSF hospitals in Afghanistan, Yemen, and Syria. So all of these experiences can almost be heard in her voice. She was in Montreal recently to receive an honorary doctorate from McGill University, her alma mater.
So tell me about the last hospital you were in, Dr. Liu.
Let me think. Last hospital I was, I just returned actually from Nigeria. Nigeria today is it's considered a low middle income country, and it's facing one of the biggest nutritional crises in Borno State, following the increased military operation against Boko Haram in Borno State. And that created a huge, massive nutritional crisis, and it's the most underreported crisis of today. And when I was in Maiduguri, I was visiting some of our centers. MSF are running what we call intensive therapeutic feeding center, as well as ICU, inpatient department for children. And one of the things that struck me so much, I'm a pediatric emergency physician, is when I was there, we dedicated our hospital for the under five, because in any crisis, nutritional crisis, the one that are the most vulnerable are always the under 5 years old. And the most striking things in those hospitals is there were very few under five. And most of the, especially in the inpatient department, most of the children that were hospitalized were above five. And I said, where are the 5 years old, the below 5 years old? We've done studies, and basically over the last year, with the conflict going on, they're gone. So
they're gone, meaning?
Most of them we're pretty sure they have died.
So you see something like that, because MSF has a history of advocating for people who have no voice. What do you do? How do you deal with that?
Well, the thing is, it's Nigeria is a very, very challenging environment. But one of the things is before we jump into conclusion, then we need to get the evidence. So we've done what we call retrospective mortality survey for the under five, and we've done as well nutritional survey, and we get the figures, and we actually just shared them a few days ago with the government, trying to bring them to the tough reality of what happened and what can be prevented. And so for me at this stage, because I saw a particular dynamic in Maiduguri, but I know we have other mission in different spots in the Borno States. And we know that in other places, the under five are still there, but they are in the hospitals or they are dying. So we are in this sort of dynamic that the most vulnerable, this what I call this layer of under five, either they've died a few months ago, either now they're struggling for their life in some of our centers, or either they are actually dying. So it's a race against time. We need to bring food in Borno States, and really fast. That's the only way we're going to prevent massive death from the youngest. And then the next, I would say, the next to die would be the 6 to 10.
So when you see a situation like that, where there's a real sense of urgency, and you start with saying to the government, getting the information and saying to the government, here's what we're seeing, what are the next steps?
Oh, we're doing a lot of next step at the same time. We do lobby. You know, this is the same story as Ebola, is we meet people in bilateral, and and we advocate and share what we know, and we try to get a momentum. And then meanwhile, we continue to do what we're doing, and we try to scale up. That's what we did in Ebola. That's what we're doing now. That's what we did in yellow fever last summer. It's always the same thing. The world has somehow a thing that it takes always some courage to acknowledge that something really, really bad is happening in one's country. And what I'm advocating for right now, because we're talking a lot of how we're going to prepare for the next big pandemic. And everybody is really crazy about having those very fancy design of emergency preparedness and surveillance and alert system. And I always say, you know what? I'm not against it. You need all those alert and surveillance system. But unless the authority in the country, wherever this will take place, is ready to declare that something is happening in this country, be a nutritional crisis or an epidemic of Ebola or cholera, if it doesn't do that, that's step one. If it doesn't happen, we're always going to be late. And the only way to fix that is to give an incentive for people to declare. And what we're doing right now is every time a country declares, it becomes a pariah of the world. The world shut down on them. We stop having economic trade. We stop having international flight. They are isolated. Until we change that very, very small thing, which is big, it's going to be very difficult to change behavior. People are saying, they always tell me, the political cost and the economical cost is way too much. I'm going to try to postpone that declaration as much as I can. So meanwhile, people are dying.
And so then how do you put pressure globally to change that picture?
You know, we do what we can. We tell everybody, but the world doesn't listen to us. We're used to that now.
But you also have a role. I mean, I see that you say that you are neutral. How can you be neutral with what you see all the time?
I think that neutral is a way of interpretation. I think that what we do, MSF, is we basically bear witness on what we see. It's not about being neutral, it's just telling what we see.
How well does that work?
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But the thing is, I think to not speak out when things are happening, it's the beginning of the end in terms of truth, in terms of a better future.
Thank you, Dr. Liu.